hadn't got it turned on.
Okay. I can't look down at that anymore. It's recording me, and I may get in trouble, you know. I'm not worried about that, but I would like to say this morning, my heart is touched. When I came in this morning, I was welcomed by the different ones that were here, and Tom says in his prayer, Pastor Mark, who's been a part of us for a good while, I appreciate that. I truly do appreciate that as being a part of this. And I want you to know this morning you should take a bow, because you make me feel at home. You make me feel as though I should be here. And that's 90% of the battle, is being comfortable with your congregation. The guys have heard me preach on our group, the Town and Country Christian Men's Group. And a lot of times they ask me to preach when I'm not supposed to be preaching. You have to impromptu it. But you know what? I'm so comfortable with those people, it's generally not a problem. Because I know that I can just talk to them. I am no different than you are. Not in the least. Well, maybe on the bad side, but anyway. You know, I just love coming here. Thank you. There was a pastor, and I generally move around a lot. Well, let me show you. I can't really do. I hurt my knee, so I'm going to be kind of stationary today. If I start to move, I'll probably cringe and go back. So. Anyway, this pastor was starting a new job, and he took the church's charge very seriously. And as most pastors are, they're generally kind of nervous when they first get started. About 30 years ago, I was. I still get nervous, believe me. But anyway, he noticed as he was preaching each Sunday that this one individual, about halfway through the service, was getting up and leaving. And he told himself, well, I'll just deal with that for now. You know, something going on there. The gentleman kept doing it every Sunday. He would get up about halfway through the sermon and go out. So this one Sunday, he got up and the pastor was just on the edge. And he said, hey, pardon me, sir. He said, I noticed you've been leaving every Sunday about halfway through the sermon. He said, where are you going? He turned around and looked at him. He said, going to get a haircut. He said, you're going to get a haircut? He said, yeah. He said, well, why didn't you do that before you came in here? He said, before I came in here, I didn't need one. I told that story several years back. I was helping a church at the time, and they had put me under like a 3-month contract, or what, I don't remember really what it was. But anyway, this one guy at the end of the services, he stopped me and he said, you know, the last pastor we had said she'd come through. We were standing by the doors going outside. He said she'd come through those doors at 11. Their service started at 11:30. I had never experienced one of those, but okay. So said she'd come through those doors at 11:30. She'd walk up to the pulpit. She'd give her sermon. Said we were in our cars and on our way home at noon. So in other words, it was his polite way of telling me I was talking too long. Or maybe not. I never did really figure it out. So anyway, I thought, well, I got to get something. So I told that story the next week. That guy laughed continually through the service until we left. And I asked him in the back. He said, that was pretty good. I think he knew I shot him. But anyway, you know, as I prepare for messages, I know I've spoke at many different places, and I truly enjoy that. I just want you to know that I am in the running for a couple of full-time. I miss the pulpit. I preach a lot, but I am going to go back into it if the opportunity arises. One of them's a little bit far away, and the other one, I haven't drilled down on it very far yet. But anyway, be praying for that for me, if you would. But we'll still try to make time to get to Benwick from time to time. Okay? All right. I want you to know that your group here took charge in the Town and Country Christian Men's Group. They took all the brass home, They showed up in mass, basically, and we had a little thing that we did for enjoyment through the times of Lent, and they had the attendance record and took it away from us. Anyway, I really appreciate them being there. They're such an uplift to the group, and God bless you for coming and helping. And there's times when any of us could do more, and I appreciate you being there. As we prepare for messages, I know that Randy has asked me several times, well, how do you come up with this, or how do you do that, or what do you do with this? And a lot of the questions you can't answer because they're impromptu. By that I mean, as I studied recently, I was trying to think of subjects that could really lead us into something that's new or rewarding or get you excited type things. And I thought, you know, how many sermons do you think you've heard here in this church? Don, how many sermons do you think you've been through in this church? That much? I had a little boy one time. I asked him how great God was, and he did this. And this was a five-year-old kid. We were talking. I used to talk with the little ones up front before church. As you can see, I'm hanging on to the pulpit here. But I asked him. I said, "Well, how great is our God?" I'd ask him that before, and he come in the next week and he said, "I know how great God is now, Pastor." I said, "You do? That's great." I said, "How great is he?" And he did this. I got to be careful. He put his feet together. And he went. It's a great answer, isn't it? Amen. It's a great answer. Now, if I don't fall down, I'll get back over here in the pulpit. You know, as I study, and I've given many, many, many messages to congregations, and you know what? I know you know a lot about salvation. You know a lot about eternity. I know you know a lot about the Bible in general. But I got to thinking to myself, and this is what inspires a lot of my messages as I studied. I asked myself this question, and I'm going to ask this question to you today too. How great is our God?
Great.
Great. I'm going to ask you that question. I want you to just think on that. I'm going to give you some time to think because I'm going to ask for your help here in just a little bit. How great is our God? Because when I ask that question to myself, I think you've got a failure for a pastor today because I don't know that I know how great our God is. I don't know that I can understand his greatness. I try, and I think you all would smile at me if you would, please. I believe in our God and I know how great he is, but what I'm saying is I don't know that I fully understand his greatness. So I would say for you in that, as I smile, you brought a pastor here today that's a failure. I don't even know how great God is. Yes, I do. But now I know his full greatness and what it is and how it is and how it is in our lives and how he sees us. No. But I'll tell you, it's great. So I want you to think about that. I'm going to start this morning with a song that has impressed me through the years. And it's basically the title of our lesson today. How great is our God?
All the earth rejoice. Can I
Great is our God.
Amen.
That video I found several years ago, and it just from the very beginning intrigued me so much to know all the different things about it. So I did research it some, and I just want you to know this morning that did you understand all the words that they were saying? Did you? There was 9 different languages speaking. There was English, Hindu, Indonesian, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, Zulu, Afrikaans, and Mandarin. It's Chinese. The African children that you saw on there, did you see them come walking in and they were singing in the background? That's the same children that did the vocals or the music for The Lion King. The gentleman at the end that gave his song, where he was standing, that was Tiananmen Square. Now, some of you go back with me as old as I am, older than dirt, actually. But anyway, Tiananmen Square, back in the time, China had a Christian revolution going on. That's the best way to explain it. There's more technicality to it than that. But this young man, and I'm going to try to do this, this young man, in Tiananmen Square, right where that guy's at, he stood. How many of you remember this Tiananmen Square? Yeah, okay, you're with me. He stood right in front of their tank and was praising God. He was part of the Christian movement in China. Standing in front of their tank, and I'm going to go this easy. When it would go this way, he'd go that way and stand right in front of it. I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't know if I would have challenged that tank. But what a fervor of love and the greatness of God that's right there in that individual as he, I'm not mobile enough, okay? As he tries to block that tank. I remember back in the day, I watched that the first time I saw it, I cried. What a faith for Jesus Christ. Amen? What a faith. And this individual stands there and sings about how great our God is in the same, very same location. They didn't send a tank after him. But what a fervor of love for Jesus Christ he has. You know, I get nervous coming to Benwood. And they're standing in the middle of the Chinese square praising God. There's no, I know, Tyler, it's something. Yes. But anyway, I want you to remember those 2 individuals. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. And I'm going to try to speed along because some of you look like you're trying to get a haircut going on. But I got one more, and this one won't be a video. I'm just going to. But that's. Would you not agree with me this morning that that's quite a production? It's out there for you. It's called the World Edition, with Chris Tomlin's World Edition. I listen to it probably 20 times a year. so it can inspire me. The next thing is I'm going to read to you. I'm trying to give you examples of, as they produced that video, I'm sure there were some of them. I'm sure there were some of them that just, boy, we really did good with that. We got the Lion King kids here, and they sang, and they come in just right, and they, you know, we're really good. Well, you might be, but I can see God's hand in that. That's where we fail, in knowing the greatness of God. You know, we've all done things where, that looks nice. I did really good. No, God did. God did. That's his greatness that we miss. I imagine these people stood around this. The production director said, man, I was world class. Well, you did good. But they don't know there's some fingers behind their back that God is in their life and made something like that that still excites me to this day for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But they couldn't do that to me. But God could. It was quite the production. In 2004, scientists pointed the Hubble telescope at a blank-looking patch of sky near the Orion constellation. The Hubble stayed focused on that spot for 400 orbits over 11 days. The patch of sky where they were looking at is no bigger than a grain of sand held out at arm's length. And in that tiny patch of sky, they discovered 10,000 galaxies. Wow. It is wow. Brianna, this is where you get off, because I was going to ask you today. I was going to get some tweezers, get some sand, have you come up, take a little grain of sand, and hold it out at arm's length. And that's what this constellation looked like. That's what this galaxy looks like. You can't even see it out there. And I imagine those guys that got that Hubble telescope turned around just right and focused out there. I don't know where that galaxy is. I still, when I look up there, I don't know. So it is fantastic what they could do with that Hubble. It is. That's a scientific greatness. But let me underscore that. That's a God's greatness. God's greatness in our world today is everywhere and in everything. I'm going to give you some scripture in a minute that'll tell you that. But that is impressive, holding that, finding that galaxy. And let me read on real quick. You see, they discovered 10,000 galaxies in that tiny patch of sky. 10,000 that they know of. There's key there, that they know of. God may let him find some others later on, because it's God's deal. Not too long ago, astronomers thought that there were 100 billion galaxies in our universe. Then the number jumped to 200 billion. And then I'm going to play this in the background. And then God said, well, maybe I'll let him find another one. You see, they think they're doing all this. If you don't know, and I'll say this now, scientists, for the most part, and God line up on opposite sides of the road. Now, there's probably scientists that are sitting out here right now getting ready to throw a tomato. There's good things that they definitely come through with. But without God's help, God's behind all of it. God is behind all of it. So they thought there was 10,000 galaxies. Not too long ago, astronomers thought there were 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Then the number jumped to 200 billion. Then the number jumped to 500 billion. Each of these galaxies has hundreds of millions of stars. That's fascinating. But you see how limited we are? At one time, they said, the scientists said, there's 100 billion galaxies out there. They had to retreat in about 10 years and say, actually, there's 200 billion. And God let them see a little more. Now there's 500 billion. Are you following me? If they don't have the knowledge given from God, they're not going to the next galaxy. I don't care how they turn that Hubble around. And the lens is refracted and moved and all that technical stuff. which I know nothing about, they're not going to do it. Because how great is our God? That's how great our God is. Quite the discovery, a little patch like that. That's very, very impressive. So scientists, if you're sitting here this morning or if you're going to hear me, that's very impressive that you got to do that and make that happen. As impressive as this is, I guess if the easiest way to say it, that is impressive. Would you agree with me this morning? That what they did and seeing those stars in the galaxies, that's impressive. It is very impressive. But as we hold that here and we try to see this grain of salt, come down here and look at this, it pales. This pales in comparison to what our God is. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's so exciting, so neat. God tops that and pales in comparison. I'm trying to give you an understanding of how great he is. That's a great accomplishment, seeing that little thing. But God is so much more than that. It's very impressive. Okay, I told you earlier I was going to ask you a question. I hope you thought on it. How great is our God? You got to help me. You remember I told you when I studied and I went, I'm not sure I know how great our God is. How great is he?
There's no word in our English language to explain how great God is.
I love that, Rose. I love that. Did you hear? There's no word in our English language to describe it. Anybody else? Take a shot at it. Take a shot, yes.
He saved
me. Do what?
That's how he saved me. That's how great he is.
He saved me. Woo! Love it. Else? Anyone?
No.
Yes, Tyler. Yeah, you guys can't see. This is what he's doing. Good, Tyler. Yeah. Yeah, baby. You see, all this stuff that I just read you, it pales into the comparison of God's greatness. I can just see all that stuff in the folks that did the telescopes and how good they were. And that song, the producer said, well, we brought the Lion King people in just on the right time. And just, you know, I can just see them, you know, trying to break their back, the hand patting them on the back. Well, God had it all, you know. And if we get into our lives where we trust and we obey and we follow him, God's got you with his greatness. Maybe it's part of that greatness that we don't understand. I can see God in the background with a smirky little smile going, they think they did that, and that's okay. You know, and he's got it. He's good. We put this slide up, Lisa. I loved your answers, by the way. That's very simple, but it's also very, very real. God's greatness is so much greater than we know. And it is, isn't it? Very good explanation. We don't have a word for it. God's greatness is so much greater than we know. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to know everything? No way. I don't have a clue as to how great our God is. That's the wrong statement. I don't know the fullness of his greatness. I don't. But I want to read to you now from Psalms. Psalms 145, and this is the same thing that this is telling us. Here's the scriptures that back it. Psalm, and there's a bunch of them. I picked two because I don't want you all going out and getting a haircut. Psalm 145 in verse 3. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Listen now. His greatness no one can confirm. Did you hear me? His greatness no one can confirm. When I started studying this and trying to help myself, as I told you, that's what I do. That scripture touched me and I thought, I'm not quite as stupid as I think I am. No one can fathom his greatness. Psalms 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. So there's no way that this meekly little pastor here with his pea brain could understand all his greatness. We can't do it. Rose said it best. We can't explain it. I'm going to turn to you today so I don't read on and on. Go in Psalms. Psalms talks about the greatness of our God as much as any chapter in the Bible. Psalms and Proverbs. Just go in there, and as you're reading it, read it with this in mind. How great is my God? It'll talk to you. It will. You know, I've talked this morning how feeble I am with my little brain and not knowing. And I hope I've made the point clear, as we're going to change gears just a little bit, about not knowing. Hopefully it's been clear that we do know, but we don't know the fullness, the greatness. And he knows on the other side of this, there's no way that we ever will. Because if nothing else, he don't want to overload our mind. Our little mind can't handle it. We think we're pretty smart sometimes. You want to sit back and go, hey, I didn't know. God's done that. I told you this a minute ago, let's talk about, you know, I told you there's, I didn't know what the greatness of God is, and I was trying to lead you down that path to saying we can't gather it all. And I hope we've done that this morning. Because I know you as a church knows we've got a great and powerful God. Amen?
Amen.
We do. We do. Now let's talk about something that I do know. God's love goes right alongside his greatness. God's love, and I asked you a minute ago, I said, remember the little man on the bicycle? Did you see? Pretty feeble, got a little broom sticking out of the back of his bike. Probably going to sweep somebody's porch and make a little money so his family could eat that night. That gentleman is so insignificant. And even this film, no big part. But you know what? God loves him just as much as he does me. God loves him just as much as he does you. All of you this morning have to know that God loves that man so much. That's astounding to me. That individual, that little individual in that faraway country, God loves him just as much as he does you, Tom. Randy, he loves him just as much as he does you. To me, that's a shake in my head. That's when I do. That love is abounding. It's so amazing, isn't it? God's love for us. I could preach that all day long because I know it, that he loves each and every one of you. That man, that Chinese man that I asked you to take note of, he's standing there. You know what? God loves that man just as much as he does any of us. He loves him. Do you think that's easy? No, it wasn't. They still don't take kindly to the Christian ways in China. It's a little better today than it used to be. But that take courage for him to sit there and say, how great is, he was saying, how great is my God. And God looks down and he says, I love that man just as much as I do that windy preacher in Indiana. I do. That's amazing. That's amazing, folks. Now I'm going to bring it a little closer to home. Benward Church, I've already said this morning what you mean to me. You're very special. Do you realize this morning, I'm saying each, and I'm going through the aisles here, I say to each and every one of you, God loves you much and more than he possibly could. God loves the Benwood Church people. I can make that statement and exclaim it.
Me.
That's right. God loves you. When things get rough and turn you upside down, guess what? I get those days too. When it gets rough and it turns you upside down, the first thing that you got to grab a hold of, the first rail that you get a hold of, Rose, is I know my God loves me. Are you with me? I know my God loves me. Things are rough right now. Things are tough right now. Listen, he loves you. And when he loves you, he's got a better place for you. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see, we don't know that this is not our home. I don't truly think a lot of us do. This is not our home, is it?
No.
We're just a passing through, as the song would say. Because we got to give God a chance to love us. Now, in return, what do we need to do in return? We got to love God, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. Keep that love for God up in front of you when it's rough, when it's tough, when you're falling down. Keep God's love in front of you. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we got to have. Love is so important. The Apostle Paul writes to us in Corinthians 13. And now these three things remain. And they're all important things. That's why he's got them in there. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Until we harvest that love in our world, we'll have these conflicts. We'll have these things going on. Those things can't go on. Now take this for the full width of it. Those type of things can't go on with these wars and these terrorist things. There's absolutely, positively no love in any of that, is there? And until, and I don't have the answer, until we can instill in our world that it needs to be a loving and caring world, we're going to continue to have these issues. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know the fullness of God's love. A lot. Not here this morning. I can say that very confidently. Very confidently. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read it to you in full now. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The reason he put them in there with faith and hope, they're important, right?
Yeah.
Faith and hope are important. But love, how many euchre players are there in here? Love trumps faith and hope. Okay? I want to close this morning. I'm going to close with a prayer. I want to show you something I learned a long time ago. It was in a youth seminar that I went to teach. And we were talking about prayer. And I try to do this as much as I possibly can. Are you still hearing me while I'm standing over here? Okay.
No?
Okay. They were teaching us, we were talking about prayer. And this is very simple. Remember, we're trying to talk to a youth situation. And they said, you know, when I pray, you can adopt this or just leave it on the side. It doesn't matter. But you'll see me most of the time doing this because it stuck with me. When we pray, what we do first is we need to unify. Can you do this with me? Follow it. What we do first is we unify. Have you seen people in prayer like this? I know you have. But there's a story behind it. That I want you to put your elbows out like this. And that's it. Try to pull. Now, don't wiggle it out. That's not fair. But just try to pull straight out. You can't hardly do it, can you? You can't hardly do it. And what we're saying is, when we go in prayer, we need to be unified. Ben when church needs to go to prayer, now I'm not telling you need to clasp your hands like that every time. I'm not trying to dictate that to you. But what I'm trying to tell you is prayer is powerful. And when you put it in there and you know that, you unite everyone in this church, you got a power, don't you?
Yes.
Right here. Like I said, try to get them apart. You can't. You can't ununify it. We're in prayer. We're in prayer. Brought this message to you this morning, hoping that we could learn a little bit more about the greatness of God. You know, how awesome He truly is. And the things that He's given us to put us together is right before us. Because there's not anything any more awesome, anything more distributed to us in His Word than the power of prayer. It's our communication. So if you would, join me. And I'm going to close the lesson today in a word of prayer with all of you with me. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your greatness. Help us to learn and know how involved You are in the things in our lives. Walk with us, guide us, comfort us when we hurt. Be with us and guide us. Guide this church, Lord. What a wonderful church You have here, Lord, that's serving You. Guide them in their ways to be more powerful for You. Help us to be a loving, kind people. Help us to be able to overlook the things that people throw in our ways that set up the hurdles for us to get not to where we're going. Give us the power to avoid them. Keep loving, trusting in one another, and unify us, Lord. These things we ask in our Lord and Savior Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
God bless you.